I'm Theo Kanalopoulos, co-founder of Lucky NFT. Been in an entrepreneur for 22 years. Most of that time spent in music. Most recently, probably 6 or 7 years in tech, and the last couple of years in Web3.
I guess you got to start somewhere, right?
It's more about the content, dude. Like, people aren't expecting a TV show.
So. Yeah. That's your background, right?
Audio?
Well, music.
You're like a jack of all trades, dude. I was like, where do we start with Theo? Because there's like so many parts to you, to your story.
Whatever you want.
We usually start the podcast actually with two questions when we have guests. Mm-hmm. One is who they are, so you get a chance to introduce yourself without us labeling you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you tell us like in 1 minute... Give us a little bit of a pitch, almost like what do you
it's
do?
It's gonna be
who I am,
yes,
and what do you do?
It's gonna be what I have done.
Well, I mean, it's your pitch, so you tell us.
It's gonna be literally 1 minute because sometimes we get these life stories and then we run out of. So off you go, 1 minute.
You go.
Oh wow! So we're recording right now.
Well, yeah, exactly. We're on.
Go for it.
Cool. So I'm Theo Kanalopoulos, co-founder of Lucky NFT. Been in an entrepreneur for 22 years. Most of that time spent in music. Most recently, probably 6 or 7 years in tech, and the last couple of years in Web3. We are a full-service Web3 agency, but we also own a few assets. So we own an events. Well, an event called NFT Melbourne, which will happen annually.
Yep.
And we're coming out with a product called, or a company called Lucky World, which is an access pass that gives people, that unlocks elevated experiences within the music and event space. So
that's awesome. Is that similar to the Aokiverse?
Like, I haven't looked into it. We're not playing in the metaverse, but it's more we sort of give studio lessons, green room access, free tickets. You name it.
Yeah, whatever.
From a music and events perspective, we'll load it into that utility.
Yeah. Awesome, man.
Thanks. Well,
because I cut in, so so you did it. You did it right.
Nice one.
We got to start writing down those timestamps.
Yeah. No, legend.
By the way, I've done my neck, so if I'm looking at you at the side of my head, I'm not like giving you a greasy or anything.
Good to clarify, man. Sorry, what's going on here?
Easy, man. Like that was really interesting. I feel like we kind of need to go back a little bit in time with you as well because. Your background makes sense now as to, you know, where the space that you're in and why you're so passionate about, you know, doing what you're doing with the Web3 and the entertainment business. You started as a DJ, if I'm not mistaken, back 20 years. Is that right?
Yeah. So, when I was 16, I started a promotions company. Promoting underage nightclubs, running underage parties. And then as I became older, that moved into your sort of standard nightclub parties and things like that, and around about 17, just about 18, I sort of thought that I could play music better than the people I was booking. So
most of the people you were promoting,
So I started that up, and then throughout that, I've had a few businesses in the music space.
What did you do back in the day? What did you use as software back in the day to produce music?
We've always been on Logic.
Okay.
I didn't know anything about music production until I met my music partner, Christian, in 2005.
Yeah.
And then he taught me everything I know.
Are you a sound engineer by trade?
I am a sound engineer by a piece of paper.
Okay.
I qualified.
I've got my qualification.
Yeah.
In terms of what I've been doing in the music space recently, because of all the businesses that I've been running, I've sort of let music take a back seat.
My
music partner's been kicking it on and sends me stuff to sort of give feedback on. I just sort of vibe back and forth.
I just couldn't connect the dots before because we've seen you. We know about Lucky NFT because of the conference back at the start of the year in February, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I've heard you on MAAs, on Twitter, especially leading up to that event. And I was like, this guy coming from with all the, the music and you know, all
you
the
an agency all the well events the and,
but now it makes more sense.
That's my business partners. That's their business. Yeah, yeah. Lucky Entertainment is our business partners in Lucky NFT.
But you also have
artist agency. Yes, I am a co-founder and CEO of Out in the Clouds.
Exactly.
We're a digital and technology agency.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. So there's literally like a lot of
that's parts not the side. The that's my main gig. Out in the Clouds is my, you know, 60 hours a week at the moment.
That's what pay the bills.
Every other hour that I'm awake, I'm doing Web3 stuff.
Is this
probably while I'm asleep on Web3
stuff? Are you actually dreaming about Web3 stuff?
Dream about like being in the metaverse. I can see you going in there.
We actually went to NFT Melbourne earlier this year because our journey kind of started with us sort of looking at our work, cool artwork, and seeing some amazing stuff out there, and we were like, what is this thing? That was kind of our entry point. And then I was geeking about it for like 2 months or so. I was like, man, this is so fascinating. And then I introduced Ollie into it.
I was in Mexico sipping margaritas, and then this guy's like bombarding me on Slack with, you know, Web3 and NFTs. And I was like, what?
Well, that's the beautiful thing about Web3. You can do it with margaritas, probably better.
Yeah, that's how this guy told me about it at the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, next thing we know, it's like, let's just go to this event, see what happens.
Yeah.
There was like, I felt like there was like this sort of wave, you know, all of a sudden, everything that I read, I don't know, maybe there's algorithms just feeding me all this information, but it was like, that was really cool. And then we saw the conference and it was a no-brainer. We had to go to see what was going on in Melbourne.
Mm.
So that's how we found out about you. And man, like that event was really interesting.
Were you expecting all these people to come? I mean, obviously you can see the tickets like piling up, but was that your vision for that event? That was the first edition,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was that expected?
Yeah.
From your point of view?
Short answer, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
There was just too much hype for it not to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it was also one of the first or the biggest event coming out of lockdowns, right?
Event in general?
Well, I mean,
it was the biggest Web3 event. But I know that the Future Art crew were doing stuff in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what their numbers were like. They were doing stuff since early 2020. What year are we in? Early 2021.
Good question.
I always forget, man. Every single time I do one of these things, I'm always talking about the wrong year. So we're at the end of 2022 now. So yeah, I think they were January 2020. They did their first one, and they did a few decent size events. So whoever the biggest doesn't matter. The fact is, we had almost 1,000 people there.
Yeah.
Which I was not expected personally.
No one did.
Yeah.
And when people rocked up and saw that line outside, the reactions.
It was like, who's playing here tonight? Like,
we've also said this a few times, man. Like, I don't know why a biased mind just thought that the crowd was going to be different, I guess. Like, you know, very male dominated and super geeky. And it wasn't. Like, it was such a cool mix of people.
And it's interesting. Like, it's not crypto.
Yeah.
You know, it's culture.
Yeah.
So there is that crossover. There have been events where it has been super geeky and really male dominated for sure.
Yeah.
But I guess that's sort of how we do things as well, right? We put a little bit of a different flag. Like, it wasn't a conference.
It was not.
You know, it was a gathering with a conference elements to it.
And the panelists you had involved, it was also talking to a different demographic. It was just 100%. Not the average. I mean, you brought in two Latinos to that event, which I don't know if you were pitching for, but we were there. Like this is awesome. Like, we need to find out more about it.
Yeah.
And did you have, was it all good feedback, or was there anything that people were like,
I don't think there's ever a perfect event. Mm-hmm. You're never gonna make everyone happy.
Mm-hmm.
But there were definitely things we missed. So, when we do the next one, I'm very close to announcing how we're going to do that.
Give us something. Come on.
We're close. I can't give you anything yet, but it's gonna be a similar feel, just bigger. But what we are going to do is we're going to control the foot traffic and control the noise. So wherever there are speaking engagements, there'll be sound curtains, floor to ceiling, to minimize any sort of sound leakage. The way NFT Fest just did it was in a theater, so each speaking area actually was soundproof.
Right.
So it was incredible. Because really
there were
well
more
done.
Than a few happening at the same time across the 2 days. So I
with
guess,
them?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, correct. But so, where we had the issue was there were two issues. Even if we weren't just out of lockdown.
Opportunities.
This yeah, totally. Even if we just weren't out of lockdown, this crew, this industry, this community are obsessed with networking. And yeah, rightly so. Right.
Yeah.
And we missed that. Right. Okay. So we didn't have enough space for that.
Yep.
So because the venue was this main room that fits 1,000 people in it within its own
right.
It's
a nightclub. I mean, that's
correct.
The nature of it, bringing the masses in there.
Anyone past a certain area where there weren't like speakers in their face, and because there was a bar there, mm-hmm. we're essentially just networking.
Yeah.
And that was bleeding into the people trying to listen.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then in the gallery worked fine. Like that was probably the best part of the
that
event.
That was a side room, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, yeah. So that will remain for the next show.
That was really cool.
But yeah, we'll make sure that there's less bleed.
Yeah.
And then the internet. We just need to make sure there's
coverage.
Better internet. So right. those two things really were the only real takeaways.
Well, the things that you can easily solve. Well, I say easily. Yeah. I'm not organizing events, you know. But clearly, you have.
No, you can. That. Yeah, yeah. You
clearly
you
have done
can.
This in the past, man.
Yeah.
That was really cool, man. You know, I'm so glad that events like that are actually happening, because before that, I guess, like, we didn't know how to potentially connect with people. Mm. And we met some incredible guys. Like, some were actually creating their own NFTs at the time. They were in the gaming industry, quit their jobs and, you know,
all
started
into that.
Yeah, and it was just super interesting, like, to see all walks of life coming together. You spot on. It was culture. It was like this thing just brings us all together.
I like how we connected with people like Danielle, for example, because we're very visual as designers.
You met her there?
Mm-hmm.
Not there. Okay. She was too busy. She was a social butterfly just going around.
Yeah.
We saw her talk.
She was on the panel, but then reached out to her on Twitter. I was like, that was amazing, like quite refreshing to see. Again, going back to the same, you know, people talking to different demographics and just being able to feel like I'm learning from other people, right? And she's just like, you know, she's lovely. And
she's a legend.
Yeah, and I was like, we're starting this kind of starting this thing, a podcast. Do you mind coming around and having a chat?
Yep.
And she's like, sure, why not? So we went to a restaurant and then we set up the cameras and we have, again, margaritas.
I was going to say, where the fuck are my margaritas?
That was the logistics behind that was a nightmare.
Oh, yeah. Was it an open cafe?
Well, it was it was a Mexican restaurant, Hotel Jesus on Smith Street.
Mm-hmm. But it was open to the public?
Yeah, but we had our own section. We had our own section. People walking by and all.
That would have been hard.
Yeah. Visually is very appealing, but yeah, you know, sound and all that stuff. Anyways, I digress. She came around and we talked about the event and then all these different things. So point being is that it was amazing how we could connect with somebody that we've never met before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we found the crossroads. There, which is a visual. Is that something that? So you talk about networking for the next event. Mm. What sort of opportunities are you creating for people that come into that?
We'll be more. What's the word? We'll be more intentional. So we tried a concept with wristbands that identified people as like whether they're a developer or a consumer, etc. Yeah. So we'll probably make it. Well, we will make it more prominent.
Yeah, cool.
Next time. And we'll make sure it's brighter in the venues. There'll be multiple, most likely.
So much mystery, Theo. Let's kill it. Turn the cameras off. I want to find out
we
more.
We should have postponed this. I've got a call after this to actually lock it in. So, it'll be easier to identify who's doing what, what they're interested in.
Yeah.
And that just, like, our team that have discussed it hate forced networking.
Ooh, like you're my guy.
Like where it's like you go to those conferences and it's like they force you to do like speed dating or whatever. It's like, nah, man, I'm good. Plus, our community don't need that. They, love it. Like, I'm so amazed, like the amount of times I could never do it. I used to not be able to do it. I can now because I know the community is so sort of open to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Walk up to a group of people that are having a conversation and just join in.
100%.
Like, that to me is so foreign and so hard.
Yeah.
But everyone does it in this space. It's so cool to see because
but it's organic.
Yeah, well that's exactly the point, right?
It's
so if we give people this way of signaling, yeah, whether it's, you know, somehow we get someone to sponsor something that allows them to put their PFP on their chest or whatever it might be to, yeah, sort of allow them to express themselves, to show this is who I am, so come and speak to me if you like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's how we're going to sort of facilitate that. And we're going to have a really large area for people to learn in a, more of a one-to-one manner. So it's not an expo.
Right.
It's demo booths. It's workshops.
But with the aim of educating the community.
Exactly right. Okay. Because we want to give people the choice on how they learn.
Yep.
Speaking is great. The way that NFT Fest did their wall-to-wall content is amazing.
Okay.
Not everyone learns that way, though.
Mm-hmm.
So people learn by networking and having conversations and hearing people on a one-to-one, in a one-to-one manner. And then they also learn by getting their hands on something and be able to actually conceptualize, all right, I've got a gaming background. Let me understand this and get my hands on it and see what the consumer is going to feel. I love music or I love collectibles. Yeah. Let me go and touch this and maybe I get to mint something after we play with it, for example, right?
There's, we see as experienced designers a gap in the user experience of things, especially coming into Web3. So a lot of things have been solved in Web1 and Web2, I guess. But coming into Web3, like all these different touch points, right?
Mm.
And I feel like it's excuse me, I get very sentimental about it. I feel like it's broken, right? And it sounds by what you're doing that's something that you're trying to address. Is that true?
Totally. I've said this a few times on different podcasts. The Henry Ford approach, and I never try to quote it directly because I'll always stuff it up. But in paraphrasing, the first, I guess, when cars first came out, people would like literally spit at them and abuse people because it felt like they were trying to take their horses away.
Yeah.
Where then Henry Ford came in and he was talking about getting them faster horses or better horses and helping them understand how this new technology can improve what they already know.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of jumping all the way ahead and alienating all these people that are scared of what they don't know, help them understand how we or this technology or this movement is going to improve what they already enjoy.
Yeah.
So how's it going to make you as a player of a particular game? How does it make that experience better? How can you engage with your favorite artists better? How can you support your favorite filmmaker or, you know, toy collector better?
Yeah.
So by setting up different activations that way in collaboration with serious players in the space, we're hoping that we can, you know, help 100%. Get that message through.
Bridge that gap as well.
Yeah.
Because I think the other part to this is that you kind of being at the forefront, you almost have this quote unquote responsibility to educate, not you directly, but like
we all
enable
do.
That.
Mm.
And so, you know, that's great because, you know, for someone like us or even people who are like early in this journey, there's so many question marks. And I think, you know, being able to kind of approach someone or being in the conversation helps you understand things better.
Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, there needs to be a balance because obviously that model isn't as scalable as putting 1,000, 2,000 people in front of a panel and listening to them talk, right?
Yeah.
But as long as we have the event go long enough, each person will get their 5, 10 to 1 minute with whichever, you know, workshop or whatever they're going to get to. And some of the workshops will hold up to 50 people. Like we're looking at doing a painting workshop where people will be able to actually paint something and potentially mint that.
I love that.
Right. That's so cool. That's 50 at a time.
Yeah.
So there is a bit more scale there. So we're trying to be sensible with it and pragmatic with it.
Totally.
But like, why wouldn't we try new stuff? Like this is the space we're in. We're innovators, right?
Yeah.
So we might stuff some stuff up.
And it might be.
And so, that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it might be the first time these people are trying this as well. You know, like minting or probably
but
let them try.
That's my point. Let them identify with where they're comfortable instead of getting to a panel and like so many panels that I see. I think I don't want to go on the record and say NFT Fest. I didn't see this happen, but I have seen it before where panelists get up on stage and they forget they're in front of audiences. They're probably not experienced at speaking on stage and they go down these rabbit holes and everyone's like, what?
Technical terms and there's like, a meme with like,
everyone just walks out confused.
We went to DeFi, the DeFi event
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
Ali and I
could see that happening.
Ali and I were sitting at the back. Was like, let's go. Let's see what we can learn. And then we're sitting at the back. It could have been speaking to us in Chinese.
Yeah.
Because we're a bit advocates of going to events where we don't know anything about that space. Because you know, it's a good way to kind of learn something. Mm-hmm. We don't learn anything. Yeah. Just because like there was just so many.
I've seen that.
We
too
knew
often.
How much we didn't know about the space.
Like,
you know,
we're even gonna have like an Apple style Genius Bar. Hopefully, Polygon. I'm going to speak to you. Hopefully, they can sponsor us and give us some Matic.
Nice.
We can give people a couple of Matic just so that they experience the feeling of having a wallet set up and getting some crypto transferred to them.
Totally.
So, you know, I'm talking like, you know, that'll get from entry.
Awesome.
And then we'll have all the way, all you know, maybe even some hackathons throughout the event.
Getting a wallet.
Well.
What was the first time you came? Oh, sorry. You want to go?
No, go. No, yeah. I'm just excited. Like this, everything about this one sounds good.
Yeah, I can see you trying really to. Cool, when was the first time you came across an NFT as such? Like, what was your experience like?
Okay. First buying?
Well, first time you, I know Ali, the first time he got scammed. But I don't know if that was your first experience. That was his. Yeah, but just the first time. How did you find out about the NFTs?
Cool. Gary Vee. So I saw him talking about, like, he was just literally typing the acronym a couple of times, like around November 2020.
Right.
And I didn't really pay attention to it. I was sort of like, we're coming up. Like, that was COVID. So we're dealing with that. And I was heavy into trading cards. So I wasn't really looking for
like
anything
Pokemon
else.
Cards or?
Basketball cards.
Oh, nice. Top Shot.
No, I didn't get into Top Shot. So, but what happened was I then saw more people typing this acronym. So I'm like, I need to look at what this is.
Yeah.
Then I found Top Shot. I didn't get it at first. Like most people, I sort of shrugged it off.
Yeah.
And then I saw the it catch fire. And then he started to get louder about it. And then I was considering a punk when he was talking about it in January. And then I started to get loud about it because around January.
So interesting to hear this now that you know what the journey was. Yeah. Like, those things.
But me having a music, sport and tech passion and business, like this is the perfect place for me. And once I understood that, I was like,
oh shit.
I just want, this is all I need to, this is all I need to
I
see.
Gotta show you something before I forget.
Yeah, go.
Sorry, this is very, you know. I never took this out of my bag because I took it to my mate's place.
Yes.
And you just mentioned cards, and I just remember.
Allen Iverson.
Yeah, check it out.
Mate,
sorry.
I'm gonna hero.
Check that out.
Yo.
How cool is that?
Let's go. Oh, Tyson. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's
a legend, man.
Yeah, he's a legend. But anyways, you can't have it. You can look at it. but yeah, so Top Shot, did you end up getting on it at the end or not?
Nah, so
or the punk?
By the time that came around, I did my homework. I took Gary's advice.
Right.
Took my time. And then my friend, who's now my business partner in all the Web3 stuff, Mark, showed me VV. Mm-hmm. And you can buy with Apple Pay.
Mm-hmm.
It's IP. I knew it was Batman. That's pretty much all they had at the time. So I bought those. Arguably, are they NFTs? I mean, at the time, you still can't actually see the blockchain information. It's very centralized. So there's a bit of an argument there. But let's just say I bought NFTs on VV. And then the next couple of purchases, I was sort of... the same person, Mark, that I'm talking about started a website called nftcatcher.io with a group of Americans that he'd met online. Essentially a drop calendar because back then there weren't many.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd sort of – and they'd pick out ones they liked.
I feel like I came across something similar, and if not that one.
Yeah. I didn't get scammed, but I bought Super Yetis.
Right.
And Metabots. They're like the two memes of that era. They just did nothing. And I was like, why am I buying, like, this is gambling. I'm buying like generative art like this is gambling.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm feels never doing it again.
Yeah.
The next drop on the calendar, Bored Ape Yacht Club. So I missed that.
Like, hang on here.
but I in true honesty, I was putting all of my money into VFriends anyway, which was launching the same week. So I wouldn't have bought them anyway.
Right.
So you got on the first edition of that?
Yeah, yeah. I minted 2V Friends. Cool. That was my first, like, proper go at NFTs from like a financial perspective.
That's good that it went well.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean. Like, for most people, it isn't the case.
Yeah, for sure.
It's interesting because you know, I feel like us visual people as well. You know, you're a very creative guy. I feel like the reason why we get into the space as well is because the artwork, essentially, right?
For sure.
But I'm also curious to know how, in your opinion, like, what's the space looking like now? Like, where is artwork transitioning now into like real life applications? Mm. Like, what's the space at the moment looking like?
The way I see it, there's always going to be a place for art, right? Mm. People collecting digital art is going to happen forever.
Yeah.
We've now established that. Like, there's a place for, and you know, the screens and how you can display them and what you can do with them moving forward is only going to continue to improve. Like, these smart screens that are already coming out are incredible.
Yeah.
So there'll always be a place for that.
Mm.
Now, art is subjective. So someone saying that that's shit, that's their opinion, right? So I think that if people are collecting art for the sake of the fact that they love the art, that's always going to be there, right?
I agree there, yeah.
Where somebody's selling a collection promising some sort of upside off the back of it other than it just being the art, that's where we start to get into a little bit of trouble, right? These roadmaps that that never get fulfilled. Yeah, never get fulfilled is just people that are not experienced in scaling startups or executing in business full stop.
Because at the end of the day, it's a business. It's a business model and you have to follow that through.
100%. So I think that what we've seen is that that's what's – like, people are expecting that now, right? If you're coming out with something that – is either a PFP collection or access pass or whatever it might be that isn't, hey, I'm an artist, this is my art, and you're saying this is our roadmap, this is what we're planning, then 100% it's more about the utility, which I think is great because the real where we get to really make the change in the world from a consumer standpoint is when we really lean on these smart contracts and start to actually unlock all of the potential from a utility perspective and, you know, elevating the experience on the consumer side.
Hey, man, so just to wrap it up, can you give me your prediction on this technology for the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, I think, it's tough to sort of see where things are going. Like, 5 to 10 years is a long time. You know, smartphones, I don't know, have they been around for 10 years? Probably just, like, social media, 15-ish. And for that reason, like, you know, technology continues to evolve faster and faster each cycle, right? So I think that there's certainly the potential that within 10 years we're seeing the mainstream version of the metaverse. I think 5 is probably a little bit too early for that. But without a doubt, within 5 to 10 years, the majority of the world will be interacting with the consumer blockchain
somehow,
in one way or another. You know, we're talking about Starbucks, Reddit, Meta, etc.
All the big players
already on board, and people, because they're not being called NFTs, people are like, look at how quickly Reddit, like, not sold out, but, like, you know, they distributed over 1 million from memory, right? Like, it was a big amount of people claiming those PFPs. So I think that over this time, particularly over this bear cycle, we'll see an incredible amount of maturation from the technology standpoint, but certainly from the contributors, we're going to see, you know, more thoughtfulness. We'll see more serious players come through, and it'll also create the, you know, the next level of curiosity as people, especially consumers, and all the us and other smart people that are sitting on the fence that don't want to come and contribute yet. Mm. If they see people they admire or brands that they trust and admire entering a space when it's a bear market and it's not full of hype and it's not a question of, oh, are they just doing it for money? Because let me tell you right now, there's no money left. Yeah. There is, but it's not like
it's
just throwing money unconsciously.
Yeah.
it's something that needs to happen, right? So I think, you know, we'll be better for it off the back end, but the technology is undeniable.
Yeah.
And I think over the next 5-10 years, we'll see that
play out. Awesome. Thanks so much, man. Let's wrap it up.
Appreciate you.
Amanos.
Thank you.